is by going to lightstream.com/Dan B. It's LightStream.com/Dan B.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Dan B for more information.
Hey, my mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Pat Hughes here, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to Ron Coomer and me on 670 The Score, your official destination to hear all 60 Cubs games of this unprecedented 2020 season.
Got a chance! It's a grand slam! And the Cubs have won the ballgame!
Baseball's back, and so are the Cubs. Hear all 60 games on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Kyle Hendricks, you'll hear what the opposing dugout is saying more. They might hear what you guys are saying more. Like, how do you think it's going to actually have an impact on the quality of play on the field, if at all?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be different. I think the quality of the play is still going to be at the highest, you know, and that's our focus. Being athletes, we've had to deal with adversity, deal with different situations through our whole careers, amateur and pro careers, you know. So I think everything has kind of prepared us to embrace whatever comes, and this is nothing different. It might be a little extreme. We have to block out whatever it may be, what's coming from the visitor dugout or coming from the fans. Block out what you can, focus on the task at hand. And so obviously we're going to have to make adjustments as we go, and we'll have to realize how much of that we hear and what we don't.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. 670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. It's opening day. Herbie, let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
At noon on this show, the general manager of the White Sox, Rick Hahn, will be on. So we will start the show tomorrow talking about the White Sox as they kick off their 2020 campaign. And I look, just, I don't know nothing. This isn't something that someone put in my ear. I'm just, listen to Mully and Haw tomorrow. Like, if you were wondering about, like, that marquee, I'm not saying that anything's going to happen on this show because no one's told me that it is. I just feel like if something is going to happen, they would want to get it out early, and where better than to do it on that show. So Just listen to the score all damn day tomorrow, all right?
Make me a bicycle, clown.
It looks like I was right. Yay! Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We have got a kick-ass show ready for you today. Steve Stone is going to start his weekly chats with us at 12:40. But right now, we have the Vice President and General Manager of your Chicago White Sox on the line. Rick Hahn's now joining me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park and at AlpamonteFord.com. Rick, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lawrence.
What's the life of a general manager been like over the last 4 months?
For a stretch there, it was just like everybody else's. You know, I'm holed up in my house and ordering what I can off Amazon Prime. I took 90 online Spanish lessons with my wife and taught my kids how to play Texas Hold'em. So it was pretty much like everybody else's when we were stuck early in quarantine. Over the last 3 weeks, it's been exciting and, quite frankly, a little nerve-wracking at times. Exciting because there is obviously a season ahead of us and some excitement about these young guys and what lays ahead of us, not just this year, but in the future. And a little unnerving because, you know, the new normal for playing sports right now during this pandemic is a little different and takes some getting used to.
What's the most difficult thing for players and staff to try and navigate to stay safe?
Honestly, the protocols that the Players Association and MLB put in place are outstanding. Our experience so far, despite having, you know, multiple players unfortunately test positive over the course of the last 3 weeks, has been very good in terms of identifying and isolating players as soon as possible and obviously keeping the testing going in a way that we know everyone else is safe. So I really can't say enough about our players' ability to navigate this new normal and comply with the protocols. I'll say the toughest part, though, Lawrence, is probably the same as it is for you or me as a person or any of your listeners, and that's just the unknown. I mean, quite frankly, like a week ago or so, I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't fall back asleep and made the stupid mistake of wandering downstairs and looking at my cell phone at 4 a.m, and lo and behold, there was a positive COVID test result there for one of our players. You just don't see that coming. And it's really what we're going to have to all 30 teams navigate through the course of this summer, and hopefully we get more good luck than bad along the way.
Did the process with Yoan Moncada kind of reaffirm your faith about how the protocols work?
It did. It definitely did. And look, and Yoan, as he had shared publicly, he had very mild symptoms, but when he tested positive, he had no symptoms. So we were fortunate enough to catch that one on intake before he possibly could have spread to anybody else. And we're fortunate that, for everyone's sake, especially his, that ultimately the symptoms that manifest themselves were mild. And after complying with the reentry protocols, all has been good since. So it's funny because, you know, you get caught up here in pro sports about, oh, man, we lost our third baseman when it first happens. And then you got to take a step back and be like, hey, we're dealing with some larger issues than sports here. And you worry about the individual and their own personal health. And, you know, knock on wood so far from a health standpoint and a symptom standpoint, all of our guys that have been effective, it's been very, very mild.
White Sox VP and General Manager Rick Hahn joining me here on the score. Rick, Luis Robert is so fun. He's so fun. And I had a chance. I watched him. I went to Birmingham last year, and I saw him. And getting a chance to see him now, what convinced you that not only did he deserve to be here, but he was worthy of being here long term?
You know, this goes back some time, not just with Luis, but, shoot, going back to Canerco and Burley and guys like that in the previous decade. When we identify someone that we think has the potential to be part of a core piece of a championship club, you know, historically we've been aggressive in trying to lock them up and keep them around as long as possible. It really comes down to balancing your choice of risk. Do you want to risk the chance that the player is precisely who you think he is, and over the course of his career, you know, the allure of the free agent dollars becomes overwhelming and you're unable to guarantee keeping that player through the prime? Or would you rather take the other risk that perhaps you miss on one of these guys by committing to them a guaranteed contract too early in their career before you have all the information? Luis, historically, with Jerry's support, we've tried to err on the side of taking the risk of potentially being wrong as opposed to letting that premium talent potentially walk out the door before their prime. Yeah. And knock on wood, so far it's worked out pretty good. And going back to when Marco Patti first identified Luis as potentially available back in, I guess it was the winter of 16 that Marco first brought him up, you know, Jerry, Kenny, myself have been very focused on making sure this guy was not only part of the organization, but an anchor for a long time.
Seeing him, Kelly Leak from Bad News Bears, that ball in front of Delmonico, I was like, oh, wow. Like, he was a long way away, and he made it look easy to get to that ball. I know that there are going to be growing pains because he's got to learn all these ballparks and how they play. But watching him in the intra-squad and the small sample that you have of the preseason games, how do you think he will adapt to playing at the major league level? And is it helpful in a weird way that he's not doing it in front of fans?
It's helpful in a weird way that there's not the pressure of performing for 30,000 on a nightly basis in front of you. It's helpful in a way that it's not 37 degrees and sleeting here in late March. Instead, he gets to do it under a little more kind and weather conditions. And it's helpful that he actually got 3 weeks to play in our ballpark through the inner squads and the workouts and the you know, spring training 2.0 games we had. So things are lined up to help for a graceful entry into Major League play. That said, we saw it with Eloy, as good as a hitter as Eloy is. We saw it for the first part of the season last year. Everyone knows who Luis Robert is. He's not sneaking up on anybody. Everyone knows Luis is coming. So he's going to get pitched like a 10-year vet, and he's going to have to show the ability to lay off some nasty pitches out of the zone and draw that in a little bit and do damage on pitches that he can control. That said, the speed and the defense probably aren't going to sleep. The power is still going to be there. So even though there's going to be some growing pains, we anticipate, we think the skills he presents with hopefully will make that acclimation process a pretty quick one.
I was looking at Sunday's game, and that first at-bat that he has against Hendricks, where you see Hendricks mm-hmm. do the things that he does, where he's like, okay, I'm gonna make sure that I throw pitches where I can't get hurt, and I'm going to see if this young guy is going to chase, and he did. Is it too much to say that the following at-bats were actual adjustments? Because it felt like when I was watching, I felt like I was watching a guy go, oh, that's what they did to me the first time. Let me see if I can now kind of push back against that to have a better at-bat the next time now that I've seen how they're going to approach this.
Yeah, I think that's actually really astute, because the first at-bat was absolutely what you would have expected when you have Luis Robert's first AB at Wrigley Field against Kyle Hendricks. You expect that, you know, Kyle's going to try to carve him up, and if Luis doesn't stay within himself, he's going to be able to do that like he did. The subsequent at-bats, you know, you want these guys to learn and be able to adjust on the fly. I think it makes all the sense in the world when you see how the subsequent at-bats played out, but it still, quite frankly, puts me a little bit in awe of how a young kid's able to do that on the fly in front of our very eyes. That's like that process, if that plays out over the course of the summer, it's then look out, because that's going to be outstanding by him. And that's even beyond, I think, what a reasonable expectation in terms of a young man's adjustment time is. But we saw it the other night, and you know what? He's done it before, and it probably means he's going to do it again over the course of the summer.
White Sox VP and General Manager Rick Hahn joining me here on The Score. You brought up Eloy. His second half last year was incredible. It was an 870 OPS for him in the second half. What changed for him in the second half of the season, and how does he continue it into 2020?
You know, I think part of it is he obviously reined in his approach a little bit. He started spitting a little bit more on the sliders out of the zone that were, you know, causing him trouble early in the year. I think he also got to the point where he just essentially said, screw it, and let his talent take over, as opposed to trying to prove to everyone that he was worthy of the hype or worthy of, you know, being one of the cornerstones of this club going forward or justifying the contract, and just let his ability take over. That was going to happen at some point. It all just depends on the individual, how long that period of time it takes until they get that comfort. But, you know, between the defense, the early injuries, and pitchers carving him up out of the zone, he really could have dug himself quite a hole. And in the end, you saw the true Eloy Jimenez over the last few months of the season. And he was playing the game with joy again and just letting his raw ability command the game.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he has next. How's Michael Kopech doing?
Good, good. There's no, obviously, update in terms of future plans other than, you know, he has our support, and we're providing whatever assistance he needs in order to stay ready for 2021, and look forward to welcoming him back.
It didn't seem like, in going back and look at your reaction to when he opted out, it didn't seem like it was a hard decision for you and the White Sox. Is that an accurate depiction of how you felt?
Oh, in terms of supporting him? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, man, we could not be happier that baseball is back, and it's going to provide us, you know, knock on wood, with a great deal of excitement and some distraction from real life over the course of the next 3 months. That said, real world's still out there, and the real world obviously got a ton of issues going on right now. And when any individual is affected by that, I get it. We all get it. Jerry gets it. Kenny gets it. And we are here, you know, from the front office through the clubhouse to support one of our teammates with whatever they need to deal with the world at large. And I get it, man. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that you're dealing with human beings. You expect them to almost be above it all or superheroes in some way, but that's not reality. So, no, to support someone who is affected by the outside world, especially these days, no, that's an easy choice.
Spring training part one. I was in at Camelback. I didn't see you. You were doing stuff. But I went inside the clubhouse, and I was blown away by the level of confidence. And it's easy, like when you're around Tim Anderson, it's easy to not have that confidence kind of surround you. But it wasn't just him. It seemed that even in March, you had a squad that felt like they were ready to do something special. So how much, as a general manager, do you allow that to let that live, and also try to explain to them that, you know, baseball is hard?
You know, it's funny. Part of the reason we brought in guys like Keuchel and Grandal and Encarnacion was due to their history of, you know, having won in October. And they have been part of young teams, especially Keuchel, emerging into a World Series contender. So we expected them to play a bit of a role as steward, you know, sort of show these young guys and teach them how to win. Initially, like you said, there was that confidence on day one. So it was almost like the veteran players we brought in didn't have to ignite anything. All they had to do was contain the focus. And Yasmani and Dallas and Edwin have been fantastic in doing that. It really, you know, Ricky and the coaches day-to-day are involved in touching that. But from a front office standpoint, I mean, we frankly have been able to sit back and let them be themselves and let them grow and encourage that confidence. So it's probably the most impressive thing for me personally, well, along with the physical condition that our guys came to this, you know, summer camp in, is that confidence and that camaraderie and that singular focus continued. You know, after the 4 months layoffs, who knows how people would have come back, especially, like we said, given the way the world is right now. But they picked up right where they left off once they got to Chicago in terms of their determination and focus and commitment to winning.
How do you feel about playoff expansion?
Selfishly, I'm a big fan of it. First of all, in 2020, why not? Let's try some different things. You know, people obviously are going to have different opinions about the 10th inning rule and the expanded playoffs and the designated hitter in the National League, and that may go against some traditionalist sensibilities. But if ever there was a time to try something different, it's the 2020 season. For me personally, or from a selfish standpoint, I love the idea that the chances for us to get some October experience have improved. Now, the goal remains the same as it was when we woke up yesterday, and that's to win the division and lock in that spot. But if we do wind up with one of the